Full Story is supported by AMP Super. There are moments in life where everything shifts. A new job, a new home, a new direction. But those same moments can also shape your future. AMP calls these super moments. Times to check in on your super. And with 24/7 digital financial advice, AMP Super helps you make more confident decisions as your situation changes. Search AMP Super Moments to find out more. AMP Super. Built for life's super moments. AMP Super, issued by NM Superannuation Proprietary Limited. See PDS and TMD on amp.com.au and consider what's right for you.
Hello, Senator Pocock. Welcome back to Full Story.
Hi, Rachel. Thanks for having me.
I have to say, when I saw the reports of a possibility of a Teal Party, it seems to have come out of nowhere. Do you know why this conversation is happening now?
Well, I was just being honest in response to a question from David Spears on Insiders. There have been conversations that have been happening. That's probably not a surprise to people, given what's happening in politics. I certainly am not leading any of those conversations, but I think you would want elected representatives to actually be talking about, well, what should our politics look like? How can we be more effective? So, yeah, I mean, I'm interested to see what sort of comes of it over the next little while.
So conversations have been happening. I mean, can you give us an idea of how likely you think it would be that we would have a new Teal Party on our hands in the future, near future?
Well, I'm not leading any of this. I've sort of been looped into some of the things that are happening. Obviously, you know, I'm in the Senate. The Teals are in the lower house. As an independent, one of the things I love is you can actually just collaborate with people regardless of which party they are in. And so, you know, work with people like Kate Chaney and Andrew Wilkie a lot on gambling reform, have worked a lot with the Greens and the coalition in the Senate on things like aged care reform. As to these discussions, I don't know where they're going to lead and what people are going to do. That's really up to them. You know, my commitment is to people in the ACT, and anything I do to align with the fact that at every turn I will vote with what I think is, you know, in the best interest of people here.
You do consult widely, as you say. Who specifically can you tell us that you've spoken to about this idea of a Teal Party?
I'm not going to break any confidences in sort of talking about specifics.
I see.
But I'm not going to lie either. There have been conversations that have been had, and, you know, that's I'm sure stuff will come out in time. You know, I know it's not the answer that journalists want, but that's just what I can say.
Well, we're seeing names like Zali Steggall, Allegra Spender. Zali Steggall has been speaking about this. Are they the ones leading the push? Can you tell us that?
I mean, I saw they did a press conference earlier. I actually walked past it on the way into Estimates to ask some questions about lobbying. I don't know what was said there, but, you know, I think Zali has said that she's been part of conversations. If you zoom out a bit, a lot of people saying, well, what do we need in our politics to actually deliver for Australians? And, you know, I've been interested and have been kept up to date on some of the things that are happening, because clearly we're seeing from many Australians this not just frustration but actual anger about the system, saying, hang on, this isn't working for us. Mm. Why is it so hard to actually, one, just do things that seem evidence-based and have the vast majority of Australians supporting, but then, two, why do we keep getting dudded by governments when it comes to some of the big decisions that we know are going to have a huge impact on our country?
Well, that leads me into my next question as to whether there's suddenly been a shift in the political landscape that has meant that people like Zali Steggall and others want to talk about this now. Do you see something that's changed? Is it Farah, perhaps, the by-election?
Everyone's been aware of the fact that the major party vote has been declining for some time now, and we've seen over the last two or three elections a real shift in the way that people are voting. And, you know, yes, the current Labor government has this whopping majority on numbers, but it's actually quite a shallow majority if you look at how the votes are actually distributed. So we are in this sort of new era of politics, and so I think people have been thinking about that. I've been concerned about the lack of good faith conversation about some of the big things that I think are really being weaponized now like immigration. You know, in the last parliament, I was concerned about this, hearing from Canberrans that, hey, you know, I think we should be having a conversation about this in a non-racist way. I actually tried to do that. I put up terms of reference for a Senate inquiry a number of times in the last parliament, and no one seemed to want to talk about it. And, you know, now I think that really is being weaponized, and people's fear about the future. We're in uncertain times geopolitically. And then here in Australia, we've got a housing system that is just crushing people with rents and mortgages. And then for no fault of theirs, we have this system where we get absolutely slugged by the RBA when they put up interest rates and we shovel our money to the banks. I think a lot of people are saying, well, hang on, what is going on here? We can surely do things better.
You've said that we've seen a shift. I do wonder sometimes how permanent it is. And then you see some of this new polling that's come out. I'm sure you've seen it from Redbridge suggesting that if an election was held now, we'd see One Nation come out as the main opposition. What was your reaction to that polling?
Yeah, I mean, it's huge. We saw what happened in Farah, and I think we are in a time where people are looking for alternatives. There is a real dissatisfaction with the status quo. And, you know, as an independent, one of the challenges there is that when they do these polls, independent really doesn't feature, because unless you have a local independent who's run at the last election and people know, like, they're not going to feature in a poll. So, I mean, that is one of the challenges for independents, is to actually be an option in polling. And so I think the challenge is, well, how do we actually ensure that people have other options come election time? And that's something I'm really committed to as a community-backed independent. You know, at the last campaign, I visited a number of who I thought were great community candidates to meet people and say, well, yeah, we're not going to agree on everything. I vote very differently to a bunch of the other independents in Parliament on a whole range of pieces of legislation. That's actually a really good thing. That's a really important thing for our Parliament and our democracy.
I guess that's part of that conversation right now that you're describing about how best to move forward in Australian politics. People voted for you as an independent. Do you think those supporters would welcome it if independents like you suddenly moved into a party structure? Do people vote for you because you're independent?
I don't know. And, you know, that's, you know, my commitment is to people in the ACT. So anything I ever did would have to really come from them and be something that people really wanted.
Have voters reached out to you since your insiders interview, and this opened the door to you possibly joining a party in the future?
Oh, I mean, people have been raising this for a number of years with me. And yeah, we've had, you know, heaps of emails after insiders. But yeah, my commitment to people in the ACT is to really consult broadly, and I really try and do things in a very open way. And I think, yeah, that's really how I try and do politics. So this whole kind of rule in, rule out game, you know, you're essentially making a decision now that's really good for now because you just rule something out, but you're just creating a problem in the future. And, you know, that's why I said what I said on Insiders. It's, you know, I've been part of these conversations. I'm not leading them. At the moment, I'm committed to being, you know, senator for the ACT, but, you know, who knows what could happen in the future.
Yeah, that's it's fair enough. It's sort of the never say never. But you did also say something really fascinating on Insiders, that you'd, at the next election, you just want to see lots of independents in multiple seats. In terms of the Australian political landscape moving forward, what do you think would serve voters better? Lots of independents or some sort of new Teals party that took the place of the centre that the Liberals have left behind, potentially? Which way? Which fork in the road?
Well, I don't know. What I saw in the last parliament was when independents held the balance of power in the Senate. Sure, things took a little bit longer. The government didn't like having to negotiate, but I think we got far better outcomes. And I look back at the kinds of things that my team and I were able to actually negotiate into legislation, amendments, things that the government wasn't doing that they then committed to doing, you know, setting up the Economic Inclusion Advisory Committee. So before every single budget, we actually know what experts think about the state of inequality in our country and what we can do to ensure that we don't have a million children growing up in poverty as we currently do. Those sorts of things. So I think minority government is really what will ultimately deliver for Australians, where you have a crossbench that is accountable to their community, isn't tied by a party line, and can actually say to whoever's the government of the day, you've got to do better. We've got to remember who we're actually here to look after. We are public servants and we should be serving the Australian people.
So the value of a possible minority government going forward, if One Nation continues to become this third force in politics that polling is suggesting that they could become, does that neuter the power of independence?
No, I think it makes the opportunity even bigger. People are looking for alternatives. We are in this crisis where we've got a climate crisis, a biodiversity crisis, a housing crisis, a cost of living crisis. You're only in the crisis because we haven't actually had a parliament who's looked at these big challenges that are coming over the horizon and said, let's act early. Let's deal with this right now. We've had the incentives have been, what do we do now to simply get reelected? Not what is good for the country in 10, 20 years' time. And, you know, so the kinds of things that I've been really trying to push the parliament on is how do we actually embed longer term decision making? You know, I had a duty of care bill, which would force the government of the day to actually consider the impact of fossil fuel projects on young people and future generations. The major parties voted that down when it came to a vote in the Senate. I've got a bill that would force the government of the day to have a 10-year housing and homelessness plan. Seems pretty sensible to me. How do we get out of a housing crisis without a plan? We have no national plan when it comes to housing and homelessness. Like that's disgraceful. Like we have to do better than that. And so I think having, as I said earlier, more alternatives for people come election time where they can say, well, hang on, I'm going to give this person a crack. They're from the community. They've got our best interests at heart and they're going to engage in good faith for us. And, you know, if we don't like them, we'll turf them out at the next election and give someone else a try. And so I think, you know, that's why you're seeing a party like One Nation who I think really validates people's anger. I totally disagree with so many of the solutions they put forward, but they're clearly harnessing a lot of anger out there in the community.
If independence, more independence could be the answer to delivering on the things that you're talking about, is there any point then in TLMPs like Zali Steggall talking about a teal party?
Yeah, I mean, I think people should be looking at all options. It's, I guess there's a few different things going on. You've also got the electoral reform laws, which are clearly just a total stitch up against independence and for all seats. But I think particularly in inner city seats will make it a lot harder for independents. It probably doesn't affect me much as an incumbent senator somewhere like the ACT, but everything through these laws is really about how do you entrench incumbency? How do you make sure that the major parties get a huge amount of public funding? And really, I think disgracefully, without any other strings attached. You know, the government introduced electoral reform to do with donations and money, and then they introduced truth in political advertising and did not do a single thing with the truth in political advertising bill. You know, I've introduced the exact same bill as Zali Steggall into the parliament saying, well, hang on, surely you can just support your own bill. So they want all the benefits without any added responsibility. So, you know, I think that is a consideration for some independents.
We'll be right back.